Muse Spirituality Center presents Muffin Talk with Beate.
Kia ora and welcome to Muffin Talk. Muffin Talk is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Ipsum. We are a center for retreats, spiritual guidance, Christian meditation, and personal development. Once a week, I invite a visitor to join me in the studio to talk about our center, our programs, social justice, or different cultures. Today, my visitor is Emma Kruse Va'ai. Emma, a very warm welcome, and hi to my already program.
Talofa lava Beate, and thank you for having me on Muffin Talk.
Emma is from Samoa, as you could hear with her Samoan greeting, and she describes herself as an educator, writer, wife, and mother. In fact, she did her degree in English at Victoria University in Wellington, has a PhD in English from the University of New South Wales in Australia, and was the Deputy Vice Chancellor of the National University of Samoa. Currently, she heads the Samoan Qualifications Authority. Emma, you were born and raised in Samoa, and you have a great passion for the English and the Samoan language. How did this journey start?
This journey started in Samoa at home, where we spoke Samoan, and in school, where we learned English. I enjoyed listening to whangongo, or oral storytelling, in Samoan. And then when I went to school, most of the stories were written in English. So I was very keen, together with other students, to learn how to read in English in order to read stories and books. My mother also used to take us to the Nelson Library, which is the only public library in Samoa, to listen to the librarians, and they read from books and translated into Samoan as we went along page by page. I went to St. Mary's Primary School, Tabalalo, and after that to St. Mary's College, Vaimoso. These schools were run by the SM Sisters, or Missionary Sisters of the Society of Mary. Many of them were from overseas, from Western countries, New Zealand, some Australia, USA. Even there were some older ones in my time, in my most of that would be the 1970s, seems so long ago, from Germany and France. So as well as learning English language and grammar, we were also introduced to English literature. Yeah. And I grew to appreciate and love poetry, novels, short stories, plays, and reading comics, if I may add, although those were contraband at the time. Yeah, we also listened very intently to pop songs on the radio to write them down. And we always had song books with all these pop songs written in it. And sometimes we didn't quite get the right words or spell them the right way. But yeah, we enjoyed listening to the radio to all those pop songs of the 60s and the 70s. So, and many of us really enjoyed Shakespeare as well, and had great fun translating Shakespearean phrases into Samoan. Better still, when we were actually allowed to go to the movie theater to watch films such as Romeo and Juliet or Kill a Mockingbird or Lord of the Flies, which were part of the English syllabus.
The Shakespeare would have been a difficult language, wouldn't it?
Mm.
Did you have easier translation? Or?
Well, we translated them ourselves sort of for fun, but the themes were very appropriate. The themes also related to us in Samoa. So for example, Romeo and Juliet, you know, the kinds of feuding that goes, yeah, between families. So we did enjoy reading those stories, whether in drama form or in novels.
Yeah.
And the sisters were very good teachers. We had great dramatizations of the literature we read.
Yeah.
And I think the real passion for me began to grow when I started to enjoy how language could be creatively used, and also realized that the themes of great literature from all over the world, from different writers, from different eras, could also be relevant and applicable to our own lives in Samoa. Yeah, good stories have universal themes. Yes. Connects us all as humans, don't they, Beate?
Yes. And it seems like your parents were supportive, because your mother took you to the library, so your family and friends. What did they say when you decided to study English?
They were not surprised and happy for me, because it became my strongest subject in school. Of course, there's always a need for English teachers in Samoa, so because I decided to get the degree in English and become a teacher. Yep, that was good. I also had a good mentor, my principal at the time, Sister Mary Cyprian Morris. You know, she said to me, you have a talent for writing, so you continue to write and write the stories of Samoa, which eventually I did.
Well, that's wonderful. Mm. For those of you who've just tuned in, you're listening to Muffin Talk with Beate. This program is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Ipsum. If you miss any of our programs, please check out www.planetaudio.org.nz/muffintalk or visit our website or Facebook page at Tengaka Waiora Mercy Spirituality Center. My visitor today is Emma Kruse Ba'ai. And she's been telling us about how she first started to learn English and fascinated by stories, which is wonderful. And Emma, I understand that with your work that you've been doing in the last decade, you are now a Samoan chief, Letui Manu Asina, and have recently received an honorary doctorate in literature. These are great achievements. Do you have some young Samoan women coming to you, approaching you and asking you for advice for their own careers?
Yes, very honored to receive an honorary doctorate from my alma mater, Victoria University, this year in recognition of my writing and work in education. My chiefly title is from my mother's family and village in Samoa. It's an honor, but also strengthening of family links and a great responsibility. You know, you have to protect your village and your family and become part of the leadership. But yes, as a teacher in college and at university, I found young women are always asking what their options might be. And it is good to be encouraging and instill confidence in them, especially in heading towards careers which match their strengths so they can be successful as well as enjoy what they do. I find myself expressing the things which were also part of my formation as a young woman in a Catholic college. It's not just about having a career, but to pray and reflect carefully as to what is your vocation, what is your calling in life, how can you best serve others, your family, your community, your society. The Christian principles of serving others are also very much part of the Samoan values. And it's not always easy, especially for young people, to follow these principles when an individualistic kind of life can seem much more attractive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you do look at the talents first in order to help them. Just like the sister told you, you have a talent for writing.
Yes, very much so.
And you mentioned that you were educated by the religious sisters. And in which way do you think that this education was different to what you would have experienced in state schools at the time?
I think it was very different. The physical environment, for a start. Every Catholic school has a chapel. The classrooms always have holy images or symbols which signify Catholicism. The teaching of Christian beliefs and doctrines, inclusive of prayers and liturgical celebrations, are a core part of the everyday life as well as the school curriculum. At St. Mary's, another major difference was that it was like a second home. As seniors, we were allowed to come in the weekends to study or to use a tennis court or play sport. Our parents, I think, were very appreciative of this because as an all-girls school, it was a safe place to go and hang out. The other difference, I think, was that we didn't have paid cleaners. We cleaned our own classrooms and bathrooms. We swept our lawns after they were mowed. I don't think they would have given us a lawn mower. That was just part of what we did. Monitors took turns to do all sorts of cleaning on a weekly basis, whether it was sweeping or polishing the classroom floors, cleaning toilets. That was just the norm, and everything was pretty much spick and span.
Well, you knew that if you caused any dirt, you'd had to clean it up afterwards, right?
Yeah, very much so. And it was part of the learning social responsibility, part of learning to respect and create a good space to live in, to exist in. I think we were also very strict with uniforms and behavior during my time in the 70s with miniskirts in fashion. So that was always an issue, having the hem on our uniforms 2 inches below the knee.
What happened if a girl had a shorter dress?
Oh, well, they have to put it down and make it right 2 inches below the knee. And then for detention, you did more cleaning and maybe added on weeding, prickly weeds outside, things like that.
And what would have happened in a state school?
I think they also had the same types of, how shall we say, expectations, but I think in the state schools they had corporal punishment, whereas we didn't. We had those sorts of detentions, as we call them.
Yeah. Which is more helpful to have the place clean than punishing somebody in a different way.
Yes, I think so too. I think also when there was a new classroom coming up, we also extended these chores to collecting rocks from the nearby river in empty paint cans, and you know, with many.
So you took ownership not only of the classroom but also of the whole school.
Very much so, and it was just the norm. There was no second thought about it.
Yeah, it's a community thing. Do you remember any religious sisters who taught you a long time ago?
Yes, very much so. I mean, the other thing is, we during school hours, state schools were only there for school hours, but for us, we had that extra time. I remember, well, our founding principal, Sister Mary Emerenciana, said that, you know, St. Mary's would provide holistic education to acquire academic and other skills for young Samoan women transitioning into adulthood, but more importantly, to provide a formation to enable them to lead good Christian lives. So it was about providing for the whole person intellectual, emotional, social, and spiritual growth with a strong sense of responsibility for self and others. And all of the nuns there, we remember so many: Sister Mary Cyprian, Sister Mary Aquin, Sister Mary DePaul, Sister Mary Dorothy.
Some are living here in Auckland, aren't
yes,
they?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, Sister Mary Anciana is in her 90s, God bless her soul. You know, she's living here in Auckland.
Yes, and I think Sister Aquin also lives here.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. So, shout out to everyone there. Hello from St. Mary's.
Do you have any story, because you're a storyteller, do you have a story of the time with the in your school? In Samoa, you have a little story that you're thinking of when you think of the sisters. Was there like something special that happened? Do you remember anything?
Well, I think with Vatican II, you know, the habits changed. So you know, they had a different habit. The skirts were a bit shorter. And they had a shorter veil, and I think now they've, done away with most of that now. So it was quite interesting for us because we had grown up very much with seeing them really fully clothed, and it was very hot with all those layers during that time. In terms of our own, we really enjoyed the end of year when we had Christmas pageants or had plays that we would put on for the prize giving. And I remember that time, one year we actually changed the nativity play to use our own Samoan cultural gifts.
Yes.
And then the three kings and, you know, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, you know, they were all dressed up in Samoan costumes. So that was a big difference from other times. Otherwise, we had, you know, wonderful plays that were entertainment for the parents and community as well during at the end of year. So it was always a spirit of joy and celebration to finish off the school year. Yeah, happy days.
So the children learned the stories and then they performed them in a drama, and this way they could bring them to their parents and the community.
Very much so. And they were often in English, all in English as well. I mean, they were plays like Peter Pan and things like that, just to have some fun at the end of the year.
Yeah.
It was really good. And everyone remembers that those days as well, particularly those prize givings where we had the dramatizations.
So did you get a prize afterwards, or how did it work?
Well, we call it prize giving because, you know, during those times we had that first, second, third in class type of thing. I think it's still there now where, you know, students would be top of the class, second, and then you'd have special prize for sports, for, you know, for Christian doctrine, for sports, or for English or social studies, for leadership, those sorts of things. That's always just an acknowledgement at the end of the year.
And when you're talking about the sisters, I was thinking in New Zealand, it was the Maori women who asked for wahine tapu for sacred women and asked Bishop Pompeii to bring sisters to the country. And he brought the Sisters of Mercy to New Zealand as the first sisters, religious sisters in the country. And what was the story in Samoa? So in New Zealand, there was the Sisters of Mercy, followed the call by Bishop Pompeii. But what about the sisters in Samoa? Who were the first sisters and how did it grow? Mm. Were they invited to come to the country?
Yeah, well, first of all, the Maris Fathers had come. And then afterwards, the SMSM sisters came from France to Samoa around about 1890. To assist the Maris Fathers in Oceania. And because they were single, they were very much also protected by the community and the villages. And their work was mainly educational, and they opened boarding schools and provided training for basic domestic skills and knowledge, as well as religious instruction. Now, over the years, they also introduced commercial subjects and produced, competent stenographers, bookkeepers. And these skills were very much needed to build up a workforce as Samoa was preparing for independence from New Zealand during about the 1950s. And that was also the time St. Mary's College was opened to address the need for secondary education for girls. It just grew. It could no longer be just a primary education or basic education.
So the beginning was basic education for girls or for anybody?
For everyone, yeah.
Yeah.
I have to also remember that missionaries were responsible for a very high literacy rate in Samoa, almost 99%, because when they came with the Bible, they made sure that everyone could read the Bible, and the Bible was also translated into Samoan at the time, and much of the religious instruction also had to be translated so that it could take place. So, literacy, missionaries from all denominations are responsible for that very high literacy rate in Samoa in the 1900s.
Did the Samoan kids then learn French? Yeah. Because you said the sisters came from France, and that was long before New Zealand had this close connection to Samoa.
I think there was a little bit of French taught in St. Mary's Primary, but not for long. But certainly at St. Mary's College, Vimosa, we had Latin as a subject. So we learned Latin for maybe 2 or 3 years. And of course, for me, that really helps with the English, because you have the Latin roots and all that sort of thing that you could draw from when you were learning English. So, we had Latin, but it's no longer offered now.
Mm. So the sisters came and learned Samoan immediately. Yeah. And learned from, when you said they were teaching household skills, basic training, I'm just wondering, because the Samoans had already household skills.
Yes, yes.
So would they adopt their skills and advance them?
I think just the sharing, too, of other things like cooking and sewing, things like that, that could be shared. But, of course, they already had their own skills and knew how to operate themselves within their own families and villages. They were an established society and community even before the missionaries and the Westerners came in as colonialists. Yeah.
Mm. And when I visited the Sisters of Mercy in Leolomwenga a few years ago, I was told that it was thanks to Pope Paul VI that the local church became a basilica and the school next door was named Paul VI. Do you remember the visit of Pope Paul VI to Leolomwenga?
Yes, my whole family went to Leolomwenga, as many as all other Catholic families, because it was a great occasion. And we were also students of Catholic schools. We all went. My father worked for government, and he was part of the government support team, which planned and organized this great event together with the Catholic Church community and, of course, the Leolomwenga village chiefs and orators. So It wasn't an event only for the Catholics of Samoa. It was a national event, and everyone rejoiced and felt blessed with this holy visit. In Samoa, we felt humbled and so proud that Pope Paul VI would actually come to faraway Samoa in the middle of the vast Pacific Ocean. I mean, that was so special for him to come.
Yeah.
And this was also the era of Vatican II, leading to changes in the church, also occurring in Samoa, for example, integrating our cultural values, practices, and especially the language into, for example, celebration of Mass as we see today.
So when Pope Paul VI came, did you celebrate Mass in Latin or in Samoan?
I think it was a mixture of Latin and English and also some Samoan at the time, yeah.
But the gospel was read in Samoan?
Yes.
Yeah. And what was your task when Pope Paul arrived?
Oh, I was just with my family and with the school.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, as younger people, we were just on the margins.
And in the meantime, you've been writing books and poetry, and with your positions at the university and now in the qualifications authority, and professor of linguistics, what you've been doing. Where did you get your inspiration from your day-to-day work, or the wealth of English from the day-to-day work, or from the wealth of English authors? You were mentioning Shakespeare and others.
Both, actually. I get inspired by local, regional, and international authors. What they write about can give me an idea for a story, then I would work on it. In my own way, with my own context. Again, as I said before, there are universal themes and commonalities. For example, I wrote a story for children about death of a grandma in a Samoan family, teenage girls piercing their ears so they could wear earrings in Samoa, story about Christmas in Samoa, riding a bus with a pig destined for a wedding feast.
So you're an observer and then you write it down, is that
yeah,
right?
Yeah. You said, oh, okay, just get it together and then try and find some good words to write well, and so that people can enjoy it, enjoy an incident and relate to it. Like, oh, yeah, that does happen. I think also with the same with poetry writing, I thought Honetu Fare poems, Honetu Fare's poems I enjoyed. Or Patricia Grace and Witte Maera. Yeah, I enjoyed the Maori writers as well, and wanted to write poems about Samoa as well.
Yeah.
So,
do you have a poem with you?
Yeah, I've got a long poem about the 150 years celebrating 150 years celebration since SMSM sisters arrived in Samoa.
Yeah.
But it also connects very much to the generous and loving spirit of Catholic religious women who lived to serve others just as they lived and served in Samoa.
Would you like to read it out?
Okay, just part, because it's a bit long. So here it is, a poem for SMSM. From them to us, there is a long history, a history of light and shadow, with times of growth, times of patience and endurance and faith. This is taken from SMSM Constitutions, the prologue. 150 years ago, you farewelled your parents, your families, your homelands, to serve God through Mary in the faraway isles of the Pacific, SMSM. The language of your names escaping our tongues, Sister Maria de la Mercy, Sister Maria Rose, Sister Maria de la Misericordie. The words and tunes of your songs capturing devotion. Toi Notre Dame, you are Our Lady, the woman who made things possible in Bethlehem, in Canaan, in Nazareth beneath the cross on Calvary. And after the pioneers, more Mary sisters arrived in Oceania, into Samoa, into our lives, into our hearts. Mission stations in so many villages, so many remember you, a life of faith, hope, charity, a life of poverty, chastity, obedience, ministering to the sick, the needy, educating for this world and the next, the relevance of the connection and people engaging, observing, learning, wondering why here so far away from home, and the changes of the world move towards us, the waves breaking upon us, amidst us, within us, beyond us, and life was never quite the same again. We rejoice and celebrate your work of love. We thank you in our own words. You made Samoa your home, your language, your life's work. And now some of you are laid to rest here within our earth. You belong to us and we belong to you. Your names we repeat in our storytelling. Your names we give to our children. Your mission becomes ours. From our shores on your shoulders we scan the horizon of our world within and beyond the reef of our island existence. In our meager efforts and achievements throughout the days since, we know you are ever present. There is no morning like the crest of that morning 150 years ago, when your arrival to your destination became the beginning of our shared journey. Sub Mariae Nomine, under the name of Mary. Thank you, with love always. Fafetai Olofa Angaile Uma.
Thank you very much, Emma. And thank you for this poem to the sisters, the missionary sisters, but in fact to all the sisters who came far away, from far away, to make the Pacific their home and taught children, especially girls, in these countries. And thank you for having come.
Thank you for having me. Haftai Lava Beate.
And what is coming up in our Mercy Spirituality Center? We'll have tomorrow, the Saturday, the 7th of December, 9:30 to 3:30, Sister Catherine Wells Pickett, who is inviting us to a mandala reflection day. And on Wednesday, the 11th of December, 10:30 to 2:30, Sister Mary Catherwood is offering a reflection day with the title, Be Still and Know That I Am God, Prayer in the Spirit of Advent. On Friday, the 13th of December, from 7 to 9, in the evening, I will repeat my presentation on the nativity scenes. This is an opportunity to learn more about an ancient Catholic tradition that has spread to many countries, including Samoa, and each time adapting with its special characteristics. This will be our last event for the year 2019. For the year 2020, we have chosen the theme Presence. Please note that our program booklets for 2020 have come out. If you're not receiving one in your mail, and you can come to pick up a copy at the Mercy Spirituality Center in Epsom, or send us an email and ask us to send you a copy. For all events at our center, please register with us per phone at Auckland 09-638-6238 or through our website at www.mercyspiritualitycenter.org.nz. And thank you very much, Fa'afetai Lava, Emma, and a blessed Friday and a good week ahead.